welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're welcoming back a very special guest, someone who's joined us on this show multiple times in the past, talking about Cubs baseball and his amazing broadcasting career, and I'm really looking forward to having him on here again today. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Get ready for the team's 20th anniversary season here in 2019. You can purchase tickets right now at 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Well, I'm really looking forward to today's interview with our special guest. He's not only been one of the best broadcasters in baseball, that without a doubt, but secondly, he's been such a loyal and supportive guest that I've had on multiple times in the past. Actually, he was my first guest when I started this podcast back in 2014. My first 11 episodes contained no guests. It was just me talking. Then, all of a sudden, today's guest came on without question and provided an amazing interview. One that really built up my career and this podcast, and also made for some memorable times to come. And on today's show, we'll be talking about the Cubs and what they've done this offseason. We'll also make some predictions for 2019, and at the same time, talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame and those who were recently elected, but more importantly, those who weren't elected and the reasoning behind it. So again, this should be a very fun interview. I hope you enjoy what's to come, and thank you for your continued support. It's now time for our special guest. He began his sports media career in 1994, hosting a daily sports radio show on WTMJ AM in Milwaukee. He then transitioned into the broadcasting booth, calling Beloit Snappers games while doing fill-in work for the Milwaukee Brewers. After calling two seasons of Florida Marlins baseball, he became the Cubs TV play-by-play broadcaster in 2005, and today he's getting ready to start his 15th season with the team. Please welcome now a four-time guest, Len Casper, to the show. Len, how are you doing today? And thank you again for being here on the show.
Happy to be with you, John, and winter weather in the Midwest. I'm very much looking forward to spring training.
Well, to start today, Len, let's quickly recap the Cubs' 2018 season. Now, they won 95 games, the second-best record in the NL, but they ended up having to play in the wild card game where they lost to Colorado. So obviously, it was an odd season based on the record and the way things ended. What's your take on the 2018 season for the Cubs?
I think it's a little bit of both. It can't really be a failure when you win 95 games, but it's a failure when you're a team that had been to the NLCS the previous three consecutive seasons, and you get bounced in the one-game wild card. If they had won one more game along the way, they would have not only not played in the wild card game, but they would have been sitting around waiting to host the winner of that game and have had a home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs, which is what happened to the Milwaukee Brewers. You give the Brewers a lot of credit. The Cubs actually were over 500 in September, but it was the Milwaukee surge late that kind of tipped it for the Brewers, and I just give them all the credit. By the end of the season, they were the best team in the league, and you know, they ended up going seven games against the Dodgers, who ended up beating them to get to the World Series. But in the end, I think it hurts to have to tip your cap to a division rival, but in the end, the Brewers were just a little bit better.
And I feel that 2018, despite the way it ended, was also dominated by injuries. I mean, Chris Bryant had continuous hip problems. Brandon Morrow was out for a while, and both Yu Darvish and Tyler Chatwood spent time in the DL. How confident are you in those players and others making a comeback in 2019 and contributing to the Cubs' success?
Well, there's no doubt the Cubs had been pretty fortunate on the health front the previous three seasons. Last year, It kind of came back to bite them a little bit. Morrow not being available at all in the second half. I thought the bullpen actually had a terrific year, led the league in ERA. The starting rotation had its moments, had some really good stretches. But as you said, the Darvish injury, Tyler Chatwood's ineffectiveness, that forced them to go out and trade for Cole Hamels. Chris Bryant's left shoulder was just not right really all season long. And I think his return to full health this year will be key. And, on Darvish and Morrow, there's a decent chance neither guy will be ready to go on opening day. At some point, you will have to count on them being a big part of your team. But I think the Cubs are going to plan ahead and make sure they're covered if those guys are not ready to go by the end of March.
Len Kasper here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Len, coming into the 2019 season, the Cubs had made some minor moves during the offseason, signing Daniel Descalso and recently Brad Brock to the team. What are your thoughts on what Descalso and Brock can bring to the table this year?
Well, I think Descalso gives you a real good left-handed bat off the bench after the move of Tommy La Stella to the Angels. You really needed to have a good bat you could count on coming off the bench to get on base. He's versatile defensively, can kind of play all over the place, and he brings that leadership quality that you can never have enough of, for sure. Brad Brock, I think, is a nice addition to the bullpen. As we look around baseball, every team has quality and quantity, and I think, closing experience definitely helps. You can never have enough guys who've been able to get the final three outs. And again, with Brandon Morrow's status, I just think you have to do everything you can to cover that. And even if Morrow were healthy, I think the Cubs would have gone out and done the Brock deal. And they may not be done. They may have another bullpen arm that they want to bring in to the mix, maybe even a possible starting candidate who could either be with the Cubs at the beginning of the year, maybe a AAA. I think some things have to be sorted out that way. But in terms of the nucleus and the everyday part of the roster, that's pretty much set.
Is there anyone specific that comes to mind in regards to who the Cubs could still sign before the season begins?
It's really hard to tell. There are a lot of players available. Again, I think if you need anything to add, it's probably another arm or two. In terms of the rest of the roster, it looks pretty set, but I think you're always searching and looking for a bargain, a value. There may be someone you had your eye on in terms of free agency who wanted a little bit more than you could spend. And as we get closer to spring training, possibly the cost or the price could come down. So you're always looking, but I'd be surprised if there's a big ticket player out there the Cubs end up grabbing.
With the exception of all these smaller signings, the Cubs haven't really been as active this offseason in comparison to the past. I mean, this was a year in which there was lots of talk about the Cubs and Bryce Harper possibly being a fit. Why do you think the Cubs have been so quiet this offseason, with the exception of some of these smaller signings? What do you think the reasoning is behind that?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons why the Cubs are where they are in terms of their payroll is one of the highest in baseball. As you get into arbitration years with all their young star players, they all take up more of the payroll as time moves on. They spent a lot of money the last offseason in bringing in the pitching that we just talked about. And, essentially, as Theo Epstein said at the Cubs convention, he's always had a budget. He's always had payroll flexibility. And certain years he has more flexibility than others. And he said the only time the payroll actually comes up is when he doesn't have quite as much flexibility, and he took the blame for that. And he said, it's my fault when, people out there are talking about the payroll, but he said it's never been an impediment. The Cubs have what they feel is a very good, if not one of the best outfields defensively in baseball, just having, Almora and Hayward on the field. They still very strongly believe in Kyle Schwarber's bat. Ian Happ, I think, is one of those guys who could take a really big step forward. I think Schwarber, Happ, Almora, those are the three guys I think everybody's looking for just a little bit more. And then Wilson Contreras from behind the plate, who had an all-star first half, but really struggled in the second half. So I think if you were asking Theo about, you know, free agency and all these big moves, he would tell you that, you know, the improvement they need should come from within, and it's based on a team that won 95 last year, and that wasn't good enough. And he thinks it can be better than that, and it should start with a lot of urgency on day one.
So knowing all of this, how do you think this will play into your expectations for the 2019 season? What are your thoughts, maybe a win total and a placing for the Cubs upcoming in 2019?
Well, the prediction business is very tough in baseball, as you know, because a lot of weird things can happen. But the Cubs should be considered one of, if not the favorites, in the National League. The challenge and the problem is I think they play on paper in the most interesting division in baseball, and I think the best division in baseball top to bottom. The Pirates were a little better than 500, and nobody paid any attention to them last year. The Reds have made a lot of moves. They have a new manager, David Bell, the former Cubs coach, and made some really intriguing offseason moves, and they were not an easy club to play last year. The Cardinals feel like they've got a chance after a very strong finish under their new manager in 2018 and now have Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller on their roster. You have to think Dexter Fowler is due for a big bounce-back season. And then the Milwaukee Brewers are saying, hey, guys, we won the division last year and got to within a game of the World Series, and their roster looks pretty similar, too. So that's, to me, the biggest challenge is getting through your own division. And if Joe kind of looks at it like, hey, when I was in Tampa Bay, I had to play the Red Sox and the Yankees 19 times every season, and a few of those years, the Blue Jays were really good, and the Orioles were really good, too. So he accepts the challenge, and I think his club will as well. So I can't sit here and put a win total in a place on it, but I know the goal is get in the tournament again, keep knocking on that door while this window is open.
Now, I wanted to move to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mariano Rivera, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, and Roy Halladay were all elected via the baseball writers' ballot. They'll also be joined this summer by Lee Smith and Harold Baines, elected via the Veterans Committee. Now, being a broadcaster and being able to watch most of these players during their career, what are your thoughts on their election into the Hall of Fame?
All deserving. I'm a bigger Hall of Fame guy than smaller. My biggest beefs are with guys who are not in, who deserve to be in, as opposed to the other way around. So I'm of the more the merrier category. I think there are a lot of really deserving players who not only have not been voted in, but if you have dropped off the ballot, one and done, and that's because of the logjam of deserving players. I would put Clemens in. I would put Bonds in. I would probably put Sosa in. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with those guys over the next few years. I think Curt Schilling deserves to be in. We'll see. But I'm definitely of the mindset of the more guys who get in, the better, because I think for a while here, not enough guys have been getting in.
You know, I noticed after the election that you tweeted out a scenario in which David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez could end up receiving election to the Hall, well, Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens wouldn't. How likely do you think that is, and do you support that idea?
No, I think they all should be in. I think A-Rod will be another lightning rod candidate, so to speak. But no, to me, the Hall of Fame needs to have two of its 10 best players ever, and that's Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. And as long as they're not in, I think, for a baseball fan like me, that's a problem, and they both should be in. I think Larry Walker should be in. I mean, I could give you a list, John, of 15 to 20 guys who are sitting, you know, on the outside looking in, who are very deserving of that honor. And you know, I appreciate the sacred nature of baseball's Hall of Fame. It's always been very difficult to get in, and it should be. But I do think the doors should open just a little bit wider for a lot of these guys.
Now, shifting gears to your personal career, I know that the 2019 season will actually be the final year in a multi-year contract that you signed back in 2017. Have there been any talks to renew your contract And what's your level of confidence in being with the Cubs after this season?
No, haven't had any of those discussions. Those will happen at the end of the season, and I feel great about my situation and have been supported all along, and I feel very confident that we'll continue. And basically, I'll be here as long as they'll have me. That's my stance.
At the same time, I know that 2019, as I mentioned in your intro, will be your 15th season with the Cubs, which is extremely impressive, and congratulations on that feat. What has been your most memorable moment with the team over these past 15 years?
Well, it's Game 7, being in Cleveland with the radio guys and watching the Cubs win the World Series for the first time in 108 years. That's the moment everyone had been waiting for, and as long as I hope to do this job, and again, hopefully it's with the Chicago Cubs until the day I retire, I don't know if anything will ever top it, quite honestly. And I feel very fortunate to have been a part of that in a very small way, and just to see the faces of the players and the coaches and the broadcasters and the fans, and then to come home to Chicago to that hero's welcome and the parade. That's the best experience you could ever have in terms of being in my position.
And before we let you go today, Len, this past weekend, I know that you played bass guitar in Chicago with The Diff, a band originally from Boston. Would love to know how the concert went. And on a separate but related note, what's your favorite song to play on the bass guitar?
It's really hard to pick a favorite song. I've got so many that I love to play, but it was really fun. It's kind of the non-baseball part of my world that I really like, that's separate and kind of lets me relax a little bit. I've been fortunate to play at the Hot Stove Cool Music events in Boston and Chicago with Theo Epstein and a lot of great musicians. And next weekend I'll be in Boston again for, gosh, the sixth or seventh time, which I can't believe. The time really flies. But I really enjoy playing, and playing with great musicians. There's nothing better musically than to do that.
Well, Len, thank you so much for being here on the show, and always a pleasure having you on.
John, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
What an honor it was to have Len Casper back on the show for a fourth time as we talk with him about the Cubs and their 2019 expectations, plus his amazing broadcasting career. It's always a pleasure to have Len on the show, and I'm so glad that he joined us once again this year. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, check out my new radio show, every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. I still provide my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions. Plus, we cover national sports news, introduce new segments, and as always, have very special guests on each show. Again, that's every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.